This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. All right, Pat. Well, the Twins have a chance to do something that they haven't done in over 20 years. If they can beat the Yankees in one of the next two games after winning last night, they will take the regular season series from the Yankees for the first time since 2001.
Really? I did not know it was that bad. I did not know that they had never won a series since 2001. 2001, of course, was the year that the Twins came back from the dead after eight straight losing seasons. And they must have played the Yankees earlier that season. The games must have been earlier because I think they were, weren't they 57 and 33 or something like that at one time? And Guzzi got hurt and, you know, and they went in the tank. And but that was a team that we were all saying, where'd this come from? And
okay, they did. They played the Yankees twice before May 10th. So they took two out of three at home at the end of April, and then they took two out of three at Yankee Stadium the second week in May.
So they were they were playing really good, and we realized that it was safe to go back to watch a baseball game again at the Metrodome after that long, long swoon. You know, I bet they wish they were in the Metrodome for this series, don't you? You know, instead of having 14,000, you might have 30 for the Yankees, right? But them in this god-awful weather they're having. But, boy, Sonny Gray was good last night. Ooh, at the Yankee lineup, though, they got a lot of guys hurt. If you get through Judge, if you get through the first four and Rizzo had a bad night, you're pretty – that's a pretty feeble-looking crew right now. So, and their pitching is – they're missing Severino and who else? The other guy. They're missing two of their starters, too. That kid last night is a meatball thrower, man. I don't know how he got him out. I don't know how he got him out in the past. If Carlos Correa had taken an amphetamine or two, get up to the plate and done anything, they could have had 14 runs instead of six. You know, God, what a terrible. He hit a triple because the right fielder is butchered that fly ball. But man,
at what point is it? So, you know, he's played. They played what, 23 games or whatever. You know, at what point do you? You give guys a couple weeks in baseball. I don't really start getting on guys for a while. But when do we start looking at Carlos Correa and saying, all right, guy, come on now. It's no longer you know, the first 2 weeks of the season here.
Well, I was thinking the same thing last night. Okay, these are, you know, you can have a bad night against Gerrit Cole, right? You can be terrible against Gerrit Cole. This guy's throwing slop up there, and you can't hit it. He was swinging through it like an idiot. He looked like Sano, you know, on one of his bad days, and it was brutal. I mean, it was they have a game like that. Meanwhile, he made about three great plays at shortstop. So, you know, but you know, he's not there to. Yeah, he's got to do both for $200 million. You got to do both, right? You got to hit and field. So
yes, it's not all glove.
Our third baseman, as they said about our third baseman too, you know, you can you can't hide him. You can only hope to contain him. You know, he's a hack. He was a hack at first base, and he's a hack at third base, but. Here's the other deal, guys. Okay, Joey Gallo is out of it. You know, whatever's going on, he's producing. And he's good in the field. And Kepler got three hits last night. So, and they, actually, I saw some stat. He's the last, you know, after starting 100, he's now hitting 300. So you're, and we talked about this. You can't really, nobody's trading for him. You can't really get rid of him. So what are they going to, where are they going to put Kirloff then? What are they going to do?
Well, I mean, Max Kepler doesn't have to be an everyday player, does he?
No, probably not. I don't know. I don't know what has to be the case, but they got a lot of, because Larnach's doing well, so they got a lot of left-handed hitting is what I'm saying. And
I feel like what you, and I'm not ripping you here, but this is something I feel like the Twins have been wrestling with for years and years, which is the lineup is never that good. But yes. It always feels like there's a conundrum of, well, how do we make room for so-and-so to come up here, right? Yes.
Plus, guys get hurt constantly.
Yeah, they get hurt constantly. But the other thing is, you can make room for him by, if you can move Kepler, move him. You know, if you move him, that's all. Because I'd have hell. If Kirilloff, and as you say, Judd, the trouble is, okay, I got to get Kirilloff up here. He's ripping it up at St. Paul, put him at first base, Gallo in right field, and then his wrist goes. And then you're saying, why did they do that? You know, so I heard they were going to option him and Kirilloff instead. I think he's on a rehab now, right? I think it's still a 20-day thing or something. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be time to – maybe they've already done it. I don't know. But
you want to waste those bullets? And if he only has – you know, a limited amount of healthy swings. You want them all to come in St. Paul. That's the problem.
I don't know. It is not like there's too much talent around here at the plate. They're not overstocked, but I just, it's, you know, I mean, Kepler was, listen to the fellows on the TV last night. I mean, it's how could he keep Kepler off the All-Star game, you know? So anyway.
I don't know what you're talking about. Bally's? No.
No,
never.
My favorite, Roy was always my favorite. I think a couple of years ago, they sent Roy to the school, too.
I think they sent him to him, no question.
Yeah.
And Perk is teetering,
Perk,
too.
Perk ignores my text now. Like, it's just, okay. You know.
Don't respond. I think it's over. It's Phil over. Mackey, Glenn.
Perk is, what is Perk, is that Perk's job as long as the Wild are playing, being the sideline reporter?
They're short staff, so yeah. He's good. He's done.
Oh, yeah, he's fine. He's good. Sometimes he's in the new speed up baseball. It's sometimes as they go down to him and he's talking about something to start the inning, there's two outs. You know, yeah. So it's hard to keep up. But I don't know. I'm going tonight. Are we going to have is it going to make 50 degrees or is it going to be safe to go to the game tonight?
50 degrees. I think it's going to be a beautiful night for baseball. Open the press box windows.
Yeah,
okay,
I think first pitch last night they announced was 48. So it was there at 6:40 when I was there, but the windows closed, by the way.
Cowards.
Dick was complaining. Oh, so.
No, there's some of us. There used to be an element to open the windows, you know, in the media. I don't know if we got younger people who feel that way, but several of us want it to be 65, and then we'll open the windows. We don't want that even 52.
I like it.
You can see it perfectly fine through the glass. It's not a problem.
Yep.
That's
the only problem, Pat, is that when those are closed and someone screws up and we get the Patrick criticism, it reverberates throughout the entire press box so everyone can hear it. Now, that might be a good thing.
Yeah, especially you're sitting in that front row and you get the rebound right off the glass.
You suck really goes through the press box loud when those windows are closed, Pat.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't there last night when Jose went to catch that pop-up. That was rather hilarious. Did you see that pop-up that he tried to catch?
Yes.
It would have been a tough play, but his arms were 3 feet from his body, and the ball hit him, and the ball hit him in the chest.
You know what he looked like? Troy Williamson.
Yes, so he did look like Troy Williamson.
Send him to the Nike Vision camp.
Yeah, that worked. Remember Chili and the nice boy? That was going to be – that was Rykow's brother, right?
Yes.
Jerry Rykow's brother, Alan Rykow, I think, was gonna. We got her all figured out. Chili was so optimistic. Boing. Still my favorite Viking moment ever when the plane at Denver, Tavares Jackson throws the best fast pass of his life and he plays it off his helmet. That was fantastic. Anyway, Twins wise. I don't know. I heard this discussion yesterday on MLB. and I was talking to it with Declan, MLB Network. The AL Central might be at an all-time worst.
Yeah.
Because Cleveland isn't nearly as good as they were last year. They got a lot of injuries. The White Sox have been an abomination. These were going to be the new tight White Sox playing well in the field. They're what, 7-17 or something like that?
7-16.
It's really
seven
bad.
And,
yeah.
They're brutal. And Kansas City has won 4, I think. They've won 4. And Detroit's not good either. So.
The unbalanced schedule to make the record look better too. Right?
No, so I mean, I picked the Twins to win 80 and lose to 82. That'll win the division. That'll probably be good enough, don't you think?
Cleveland got shelled yesterday, and now the run differential outside of the Twins in the AL Central is -155.
Yeah, it's Cleveland is. I turned on the radio yesterday and I was driving and my man Tom Hamilton was on the air and it was already 6-0 for the other team, and he was not his usual exuberant self watching that abomination. So if they're not good, I think this was probably baseball's fear when they reduced the number of in division games from 19 to 13, that you'd have the team stumbling into the playoffs, like when once in a while happens in the NFL when you have a 8-9 team or something like that.
How are the White Sox this bad?
I don't know. Somebody I saw some comment about Robert, I think, or Robert, I guess, that they should throw him a. They should throw him 10,000 sliders until he recognizes one.
Just cue that jugs machine up for 4 days straight. Mm-hmm.
I did express my one thing I don't like about the new baseball, the sweeper. We're so proud of ourselves now when we can say that wasn't a slider, that was a sweeper. There's a, Dick was talking about the sweeper last night. Dick, just do the game, I mean, it's now the sweeper. And who, somebody said they decided to add this as a pitch. Who is they?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I mean, who decided?
Was it collectively bargained?
So
we're good on the pitch clock, the bigger bases. We're good on the revenue split. Yeah. Just one more thing. We want to add a pitch. It's called the
sweeper.
What
are we going to do with this pitch that moves a little different than the other slider is always used? We already had the slider. We already had the cutter, right? The cutter and the slider is the same damn
thing. It's like halfway between a cutter and a slider?
It moves more.
I think it moves more and it's flatter. Is it flatter?
You know what this is, Pat?
Doesn't do this.
This is an I guarantee if you trace this to patient zero of this, it's an Ivy Leaguer.
Yeah, probably. Some guy.
You've got to call it something different.
He's been working on his sweeper. Yeah. So
you're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Last night, in other sports news, I would like to personally issue an apology. I may have 5 years ago sided slightly with Carl Anthony Towns on the Jimmy Butler versus Carl Anthony Towns debate.
Yeah,
and I would do anything across broken glass and fire and brimstone to get Jimmy Butler back in a Timberwolves uniform after what we saw last night.
56. Now, you got to realize two things. If you got Jimmy on your team, he's going to miss 20 games, and lock up your girlfriends. Beyond that, it's here. What is he now? He's got to be 34, doesn't he? I watched the highlights last night. He goes and gets 56, but he was making threes all over the building, and it was just out of his mind. And the Giannis showed up because they were down 2-1 in the series, and they had a nice lead. And all of a sudden, he absolutely took it over. That would be what, eight's only beaten one, once or twice, and.
Well, it's happened three times in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the Warriors, Don Nelson's Warriors.
The Bulls lost in 2012.
The Grizzlies
upset. Knocked off someone else. It's happened twice in the last few years, yeah.
I got to tell you, I turned on the Grizzly-Laker game about 5 minutes to go. And then overtime, it was fantastic.
Last night was an amazing, unbelievable
night. Yeah. I mean, that game, because Ja was doing, like, trying to do these Superman things, jump over. He tried to jump over LeBron,
He's a moron, dude. He's going to be out of the league in 3 years with broken bones.
He's going to break his neck. I mean, he just jumps, and since he came back from mental health awareness or whatever it was, his thing, he's crazier than ever, jumping up in the air and doing just insane things. But that game was fantastic. And LeBron, we talk about shot making. And did you see the end of it, Phil?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they drive and they got this Jackson who can go like 12 feet in the air for Memphis, they throw it. Both Anthony Davis and LeBron threw the ball like up beyond the square to make their layups, and they went in, and it was great. I mean, it was tremendous, and the referees had no chance to figure out what to call because everybody was banging into everybody, running everybody, and the game was going up and down the court like they were all insane.
Yeah.
It was terrific.
The crazy thing, so LeBron hits that layup you're talking about just off the top of the glass and in with 0.8 seconds left. And so the game is tied, and then they eventually went to overtime and the Lakers won. But so Memphis inbounds from half court with 0.8 seconds left, and Ja gets the ball. Goes up, and Anthony Davis was just there to volleyball swat it. But what people might not have seen, LeBron grabbed the rebound and threw a three-quarters court heave that went in just after time ran out.
Yeah, it went in.
Would have won the game.
And remember that ad they ran with him doing that, which was made up, you know, because he couldn't. They way back when he was a kid, they did that ad where he made that shot.
Yeah, I know.
You know, he really made that shot. He made that shot this time. It was. And how about when he scored what he knew was going to be the winner, and they did the close-up on his face?
Yeah.
You could make a frightening Halloween mask out of that, baby. He had this look on his – this crazed look on his face.
He's kind of back, man. I don't think he's quite the guy he was 10 years ago, but he's healthy. He loves that. He loves the team around him now that Westbrook is gone, and they're about to beat the number 2 seed in the West. I mean,
Dylan Brooks, what an idiot!
He's a fraud. Yeah,
but why would you say anything about LeBron James?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he's going to show up. You know that Laker crowd, by the way. I mean, you guys, you've experienced out there what a Laker town it is when they're just doing something. They were insane too. It was, if NBA wants an advertisement for itself, that was the last, the last half hour of that game was fantastic.
It's wide open this year. I mean, if the Heat beat the Bucks, could you say if the Heat could make a run to the finals, for God's sake? I think the Celtics are still the team.
I wrote a thing after the Lakers came in here and beat the Wolves by playing great defense. I mean, remember they just took them apart. I said you look at the West and he's got Anthony Davis healthy with him now. He could make it one last run. And everybody, I got all his derogatory stuff. Why do people not like him?
Well,
I mean, it's not, has he been too good for too long? I mean, he hasn't.
I think there's a lot of things. For one, he's living in the social media, noise era. So it's just, everything's just amplified. I think early in his career, the decision rubbed people the wrong way, but then people started to maybe get over that. And then he started, Black Lives Matter conversation. Yeah, and there's some social political things that people disagree with. And
that's right. But I mean,
the China stuff, like stick to back.
Yeah, I think maybe the China thing. There's never been anything like this in history. This is year 20. Mm-hmm. Year 20. I told you guys, but I did this stat that the Wolves going into this postseason were 20-38 lifetime, franchise ever in playoff games.
Yeah.
He was 172-96 himself. He was coming into this year. So he has now played, he's played now four more, right? So he's played 230 playoff games. And didn't he go to two Olympics too? I think he went to
at least two Olympics.
And world championships and stuff. I mean, how many times do you get the 18-year-old cover boy phenomenon in sports? And
he surpasses it.
When he's 23, they're saying, what happened to that guy? You don't have to say what happened to this guy.
OJ Mayo.
To get his image back, he went back to Cleveland to win a title so they'd stop complaining about him, right? And then he said, okay, now I can leave. It's like Jack Morris, except he was, last year maybe, they hadn't been in the playoffs without him on their team in like 30 years or something like that, Cleveland. So, I mean, what's to complain about?
Amazing.
Who's going to the yard tonight? You're going to be Judge. You got to stay home and watch hockey.
I'm going to watch hockey.
You got the Wolves.
7 o'clock faceoff too. Yes, 7 o'clock.
I don't think Kyle Anderson's a good loss for a team that's also not having McDaniels and Nas.
Why can't we put a cast on McDaniels and put Rip Hamilton face mask on Kyle Anderson and shove him out there for a few minutes?
Hey, I saw Reed. Reed's got a little. Just good practice. He got just a little hand cast on.
Yeah,
I think
put him out there in a cast.
Lou Hudson, I keep telling you guys, Lou Hudson, Gophers, broke his hand as a senior, broke his right hand as a senior. He put a cast on his right hand and played left-handed the rest of the season. Averaged like 16 or 17 a game playing left-handed.
And used the cast defensively.
He's like Undertaker.
That's a great weapon. It's like football.
Yeah. Does this mean they're bringing Mike Ryan back to get some minutes in? Is that what are they going to do? They don't have anybody.
I believe it's Matt Ryan. It's put Matt some respect
Matt,
on
Matt,
his name.
Whatever his name is.
I could see Energizer Bunny, second round pick Josh Minot getting about 10 minutes and being incredible tonight. So we'll see.
I think you don't have to worry about switching over rapidly from the Wild post-game show because this one's going to be over with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. So,
well, Pat, we hate to boot you, but we've got Randy and Cottage Grove's final Vikings mock draft here.
What time is that going to be on? I got to live. When are you going to post this?
That'll be up in the afternoon.
Reach out to Declan. He'll send you the link so you can figure out.
I got to get Randy. Randy's hit a few in his life, hasn't
he? Yes.
He also mocked Brock Purdy to the Vikings last year, and people laughed. People laughed.
Really? Yeah. Really? Okay, I'm listening. Okay.
All right, see you, Pat.
See you. Goodbye.
All right, there is Royce Unchained here on Score North.